Hi.
Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy.
Writers are the vault of information. Those are the words of Vera Herbert, who is best known for her credits as writer and producer on the hit show This Is Us. She told me that writers are a key component, not just because they write the episodes, but because they know what's happened, they know where the story is going, and they know what their lead actors can do. She goes on to say that, as writers, you help bring the vision of the show to fruition. When I asked her what she loved seeing in actors, she said it was important for actors to consider the whole of the script or the whole of the story. She said trust that the writers know what they're doing. She also said that actors should be able to come on set and work with the series regulars and be loose, be the character, and be fun. So, here's to more fun. I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Vera Herbert as much as I did.
I want to welcome Vera Herbert on the show, on the podcast. I've been super, super excited about having you as a guest, just because I love getting different perspectives. So yes, my podcast is for actors, but I really wanted to get the perspective from a writer and a producer, which is what you are.
That's me. Correct. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here and talk to you about actors.
Hopefully all good stuff.
Yeah.
But you are best known for your work on This Is Us.
Yes.
And I know you left fairly recently, correct?
Yeah, about at the end of season 5. So they're working on season 6 now. Yep.
Okay. But you've primarily been, your role there was primarily as a producer, either executive producer, co-producer.
But you also... Yeah, primarily as a writer,
okay.
Which then in the TV world, you sort of become a producer.
Okay. So because when I was looking at your IMDb, just to, you know, make sure I was getting everything correct, you pop up primarily as a yeah. producer, but you see yourself primarily as a writer.
Yes. The way the TV credits work are a little wild, and TV writers, essentially you hit a certain level and they start calling you a producer, even though your main duty is still writing and being in the writer's room. But because you oversee set for your episode, make decisions about costumes and props and locations and all that stuff, you're taking on the producing role. And so you sort of do double duty, but still primarily like base level as a writer.
Okay. So I guess my question is, the credits that you received as a writer, those were not the only episodes you wrote, or were those the ones that you wrote that were primarily you, but you did participate on the...
Those were the ones that I primarily, that I wrote, the actual outline script, all of it. But basically every episode of the show since I started there, which was episode 2 of season 1, all of the writers contribute because we all sit in the writer's room and come up with all the ideas together. And then one person goes off and actually writes the episode based on what the group came up with. But we basically all have our hands in everybody else's work.
Oh, that's fascinating. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's very, very collaborative.
Yeah. And so how do you like that? Do you like that collaborative aspect of it? Or would you, you know, are there times when you feel, and I'm already going off script, but are there times when you feel like, oh, this is an idea that I want to develop?
Sometimes. Yeah. It's very nice to have in that early stage when you're coming up with what the episode's going to be, because when you have a whole group of brains working on the problem, it's much easier than sitting alone, you know, in your house, beating your head against a wall, just trying to come up with and generate your own ideas. Cause you have a bunch of people throwing out all sorts of stuff. And eventually, you know, something will click that someone says that you weren't even expecting. And that is certainly an idea you wouldn't necessarily have had yourself. On the flip side, I think a lot of us become writers because we like doing things on our own. We're like a little introverted and enjoy the sort of solitude of writing. So it is always nice when you are officially sent off to write the episode that is yours to get to take a week or two and just be in your, you know, dark little hole and do it by yourself.
Right. in your cave.
Yeah.
So I saw the project that you've been working on, I'm assuming, since you left This Is Us, was a feature film. Is that correct? That you wrote and produced?
Yes. I wrote a film called Don't Make Me Go. I actually wrote the script about 9 years ago. And then it just took that long for it to finally get off the ground. But it finally, we got a director attached last year, maybe 2 years ago. We finally got the cast attached. And so they filmed it this summer in New Zealand, actually. And so now it's in post being edited. And hopefully it'll be on Amazon sometime next year.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's, did you get to go to New Zealand?
I didn't because of, they were shooting there because of COVID. And New Zealand has such strict quarantine laws for, you know, people coming in and out that really only the director and one producer were able to go, just because we couldn't sort of all get ourselves over there in quarantine and do all that restrictive stuff.
Right. Interesting. So 9 years ago, as you're saying, is when you started that script.
Yeah.
And just right before that, you were saying that for you to write the script for an episode of This Is Us, you have, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, basically.
So one of my questions was, you know, what's, is that, I mean, I'm assuming obviously that's one of the primary differences between writing a screenplay and a TV show.
Yes. The script for the screenplay I wrote in a fairly normal amount of time. The first few drafts, I think from the time I started to the time I sort of sold it, or at least got producers attached, I think I did 3 drafts, and that was maybe 6 months or 8 months. But then it just, we could never get the funding. We couldn't get the right director. We couldn't get the right actor. So it was just sort of sitting in its little semi-completed state for years, trying to find its own legs. And then finally it did. But yes, the flip side is that on TV, we have, you know, an episode of This Is Us has to air every week once the season starts. And so there's just like that churning machine of like, this episode is going to be what it is. We have a few weeks to make it as good as it can possibly get. But then at some point it's airing. So there's no more time.
Right. So this is what it is.
Yeah.
Right. So which of the two, which one do you prefer? Do you have a preference?
It's really, I think it fluctuates day to day for me a little bit. For me right now, because I'm working in features, I am enjoying the much more laid back schedule, and that I can sort of be in charge of my own time and figure out, like, I know I have a deadline, but it might be a few months away, and I can day-to-day basis live my days as I want to be living them. But the flip side of that is that everything is so slow that I might turn something in and not even get notes back on it for a month or more. And I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs. So the TV side of it being such a fast turnaround is a lot of pressure, but also then things just get done and you get to move on and keep working more steadily.
Right. Right. So moving to the acting portion.
Yes.
Once you have, so because you joined This Is Us, you said season 1, episode 2. So they'd already cast.
They hire the writers after they've shot the pilot.
Okay. Oh, so who wrote the pilot?
The Dan Fogelman who created it. Okay. And he wrote the first, well, I think when we all started, he had only written the pilot. They had filmed it. And then he wrote the next couple episodes once we started the writer's room. But yes, the initial one was just him working on his own.
Wow. And so the, okay, so once the cast has been, you know, they've cast the show. Did the characters change from when they were originally written? Do you, you know, as far as, so as you, you know, as you worked with the actors, did the writing then become more tailored to the actors that you had, or did the actors have to be the ones to kind of stick to the script?
No, I think we definitely, as time went on and we started to learn what each actor was specifically really great at or what they brought to a scene or sort of their energy with a specific other actor on set, within letting the stories be what the stories be what we wanted them to be, we would also sort of play, sort of try to write to actors' strengths, being like, I know this character is great with comedy. Let's do, or I know this actor is great with comedy. Let's give him like a very funny, weird monologue here. I know this person's really good at the emotional stuff. So like, we want to showcase that. and sort of trying to, yes, let them shine at what they are really great at. Mm-hmm.
And so as a producer, were you looking for different things from the actors than you would be looking for as a, you know, because it sounds like what you were saying at the beginning, the producer and the writer, that's, they're very closely,
yes.
It's not you're a producer, you're a writer.
Right. Yeah. Because in TV, the writers really run everything versus in features where the director runs everything. But because mm-hmm. on a TV show, the writers are the people who are there from much before filming and know, sort of are creating the whole season and are there after filming, whereas a director often comes in only for one or two episodes, so they don't have the whole scope right. of the show. So the writers sort of de facto over the years and sort of the way TV structure has evolved have become the people who are producing long-term the show. And so, you know, up through post of our episodes, we would be giving notes to the editors and finding ways to cut out the last 5 minutes when we have an episode that's 5 minutes too long, and what scenes mm-hmm. can we possibly cut without affecting the story. We would look at writing as a producer in terms of, we know that we have to make our days on set. And so this great monologue that I wrote, maybe I have to cut it in half because it's going to take way too long to film, or adjusting things like that in the writing. And as it pertains to scene work with the actors in terms of, like, we wanted this to be set XYZ place, but that's going to mean this actor has to be in old age makeup, and that's going to add 3 hours to the morning to get her in old age makeup, and we can't afford that. So instead we're going to do this, you know? So all of those, you're sort of juggling all of the production concerns while also trying to write the story and figure out what works for the characters.
Right. And just based on something that you just said too, it sounds like you're also involved in the editing afterwards.
Yes. We would, a director does their cut. Mm-hmm. And then usually Dan and the other two showrunners, Isaac and Elizabeth, would go in and they would watch the cut and kind of give initial notes. And then the writers, whichever episode you wrote, you would kind of go in and give further notes once it had been a little bit shaped up to kind of continue shaping it. And sometimes it would help to be able to be like, you know what? I remember there was this one take on set where Milo did this and that was really great. I'm not seeing that in the cut. I think we could switch out that take because I remember it. And so you're bringing sort of that knowledge too of what you filmed on set, which the showrunners weren't necessarily there for, the editors weren't there for, but you know, kind of mentally remember certain takes or certain scenes.
So, I mean, it sounds like if you are a writer of one of these TV shows, you are involved in every step of the process, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
You're on set, from the sounds of it, you're on set as well.
Yeah. Again, because the directors often come in for just a few episodes per season, mm-hmm. you're kind of there on set to make sure that the director, who, you know, a lot of them have worked with us since season one, so they know the show so well and they know the actors and the actors love them. But we as the writer know this happened in the last episode, this is going to happen in two episodes. So we need to make sure that this scene lands because it's a setup for something bigger that the director might not realize is coming or something like that.
Right. Right. Whew. So anybody listening because I do have a lot of actor friends who do quite a bit of their own writing and, mm-hmm. you know, I've heard them talking and saying, you know, that is something that they would like to do. But for anybody interested in especially TV work, they would have to be prepared that it's, you know, they would have to know it's not just I'm a
right.
writer and then that's it. And everybody else is going to, you know, everybody else has their jobs. It's like, it's a very involved.
Yes. It's a full time. You're one of the people helping make the show happen. And it's a lot of information to juggle in your head. And, you know, an episode of This Is Us typically takes 7 or 8 days to film. The whole, you know, week and a half before that, you're in prep meetings. So you're meeting with the costume designers, you're meeting about props, you're approving, you wrote in that they're going to have a backpack full of, you know, 90s snacks. And then the prop guys yeah. have gone on eBay and found replicas of like Dunkaroos or whatever, and are showing you like, do you want this box that has this one or this one? So you're like making those sorts of choices with the director. So you're sort of helping, because you, again, have been in the writer's room, you know what sort of everyone on the writing side and the showrunners are envisioning. You're sort of helping bring that vision to fruition alongside the director.
That's fascinating to me. That's fascinating because I just hadn't thought that that, you know, it makes sense.
Well, it's so different than it is in films where the writer is sort of typically not part of any of those conversations. And it's so much as the director making the decisions. But again, just because of the length of a season of television and the writers being the ones who are the consistent players, we sort of become that vault of information and trying to help.
Right. And so in my mind, I'm and this is going to sound silly, but you know, the writer's room that I have in my mind is from 30s Rock.
It's not far. It's not far from that.
Okay.
It's a big room with giant whiteboards and cork boards all over that we stick, you know, note cards to with story points. And sort of we see an episode laid out fully just on colored cards before we ever go off to write it. Except, you know, now it's on Zoom. So it's a digital card program that is much harder to manage. But, you know, everyone is coping.
Right. Okay. So how many people would be in the room then? Because, again, you know, the only thing I have is fictional.
We had on This Is Us, I'm going to say around 15 people. That would include a few of our support staff, which is like the writer's assistant and the script coordinator, which are sort of the jobs that lead into being a writer, but are sort of more, I'm not going to say entry level because they're very hard to get, but they're a rung below writer. Those sort of jobs that are the stepping stones to eventually sort of graduate to being a full writer on the show. But I think we would have typically about 15, but that also, if we have 15 on a full day, on a day when someone's in post, someone's off writing an outline, someone's writing a script, someone's on set, you might have 8 people or even less sometimes, because people are constantly rotating out.
And so, and again, that makes sense. So do all of those 8 people then end up on set watching?
One person at a time. Whoever wrote specifically that episode will go and supervise set.
Okay.
So they'll be out of the writer's room for, you know, a week and a half producing their episode, and then they'll jump back in and they will have to be caught up on the things they missed for the next episode while they were gone. You know, so you're kind of constantly playing catch up and things are constantly changing in post. You know, like I said, sometimes an episode is 5 or 10 minutes too long, and so multiple scenes have to get cut. And so then they're filming the next episode and the writer gets a call that's like, hey, we actually cut the scene where Toby and Kate do XYZ. So you guys need to find a way to work this piece of information that was going to be in that scene into the conversation that you guys are shooting tomorrow on set, because the audience is still going to need to know that, but that's not in episode 4 anymore. And so you're kind of constantly trying to like juggle those sorts of pieces. It's a big living, breathing puzzle. Yeah.
Right. Which both sounds exciting and super stressful.
Yeah. I mean, some sort of small goof that we miss something, or there's a little error or something and the internet, you know, picks up on it or goes wild, I want to be like, you guys don't know how many disasters we did of her. You know, we tried so hard for you.
Here is what we got right. Why are you focusing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. So with all of those pieces in place, we haven't really, I mean, we've touched on the actors. Did the actors once, especially those that are the series regular, so, you know, did they ever get to step into the writer's room, or was that something that was like, no, you can give us suggestions?
They're very, Dan Fogelman is very open to them coming in, listening in, or being part of the process. And typically at the beginning of every season, the writer's room spends a few weeks kind of coming up with the broad strokes of what the season is going to be. You know, we're going to focus on season 3. It was like the Jack story in the past is going to be Vietnam. And then the Kevin story in the future or the present is going to be him trying to follow in Jack's footsteps and find out what happened in Vietnam and this, whatever. So we get these kind of big, broad storylines. And then we would have the actors come in, or Dan would talk to the actors and tell them, this is what your character is going to be doing this season. So they would get to hear kind of what the plan was, but also know, you know, it could be flexible and things adjust and stuff right. changes, but like, here's what we're hoping to accomplish with your character this season. And so we would, you know, get feedback from them. And then sometimes some of the actors would just want to come and sit in the writer's room if they had downtime on set. Sterling specifically loves being in the writer's room. And, you know, if he had an hour between scenes and nothing to do, he would come and just sit and listen. And sometimes, you know, if it was completely about a character that was stories that had nothing to do with him, sort of usually just listen, but very engaged and kind of be excited and hype us up about how it's like a great story. But sometimes he would pitch ideas for, you know, something that happened to him in his own life and how it might relate to Randall or something like that. So some of the other actors have done that too. And it's a fun way to have them be involved and for us to be like, oh, that's something. Again, it's just like a new voice and a new perspective that we haven't thought about, but these actors live with these characters. So something that's coming right. from their brain is often an interesting perspective.
Well, it sounds like it's an incredibly collaborative environment, and
yes,
which I would assume is a good thing, because like you say, you've got lots of different voices coming mm-hmm. in. It's not, and it sounds to me like it's a very open environment too. So
yes, it's for us on the show, you know, you hear horror stories of some shows or some writers' rooms or toxic environments and stuff like that, and This Is Us was always sort of a very collaborative, kind, warm environment where, I mean, you can tell on the show, like, that is what the show is about. Just like people sort of struggling through their life, but trying to be kind to each other and be the best version of themselves. And that sort of is what the show internally feels like as well. The writers are all very close with each other. The cast is all very close with each other. Everyone sort of has that going on. And so that is then brought to the show. And for the writers, especially, you know, if you're sitting in a room with 10 or 12 or however many people all day for 8 hours and trying to come up with stories about, you know, this family and family drama and stuff. Most of what we did is talk about our own families and our lives and our relationships and stuff to sort of try to churn out material. And so the sort of relationships you form there are almost more intimate than any other, because you literally know about, like, well, this person's grandma died when she was 4, and then this happened, and then this tragedy, and blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of all like a big group therapy that ends up like on screen.
Right. So, and I guess that ties into a question I have too, which is, as a writer, you know, where do you get your ideas from? And it sounds like, especially for something like This Is Us, which is a family drama. And one of the things that I particularly love about it is that transracial adoption piece. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I'm going completely off script, but I did warn you I would. how was that, you know, so what was that, I'm not asking for names necessarily, but was that something that was, you know, some of the writers, do they have that experience, or did you have to do research on what that is? Because there were some episodes that hit the nail on the head. As a mother of children of color, it's like...
I think when Dan wrote the pilot, that part of it was not from his personal experience. But then as soon as we started developing the stories, the first season, we had several transracial adoption guest speakers come to the room to tell us what it really was and how we needed, what we needed to do to get it right. And also, you know, because later we did a foster storyline, we had speakers from foster homes telling us, and like social worker, you know, sort of every, we had always wanted to do any issue that we were tackling in the most truthful way. And so we had, when we were doing a storyline on IVF and miscarriage, we had a specialist in that come in, like sort of anything that you could imagine that was sort of an issue that might not be the most common to, you know, a group of 10 people sitting in a room. We always brought in people who could speak to it. And we did have, in the first season, one of the co-showrunners with Dan, he had a transracial adopted child. And so he was able to bring his perspective from that. And then in the second season, we had a guy who had 2 adopted kids he was white and they were white. But it was, again, like, he was just able to bring stories of like, well, when we were adopting, this is what happened. And like, this was the birth family, or this was the, you know, like whatever, and give us sort of an insight into like, these are the forms you have to fill out, and you make a packet, and you do this, and you try, you know, like, so those kinds of things that we you know, Googling is only going to get you so far, but we were able to, and I think Dan and the other showrunners have always tried to hire people with different life experiences and different voices. The room is very diverse, and both like racially, but also age-wise and sort of, you know, gender and stuff. So the idea has always been, especially because it's a show that is about all different people at all different times in their lives and different generations and stuff, to be able to have people who can speak to as many elements of the story as possible. And then those, you know, those people bring in, if you're a person who has adopted kids in the room, you're going to push for more of those stories that are, that maybe if you weren't in the room, we wouldn't even know that those are stories we should be telling. So, you know, the voices of the writers really help shape the show and sort of are able to fulfill Dan's vision and also help sort of guide the narrative.
Right. Well, that, and again, that makes sense just because, like I said, you know, watching it from this side as someone who has that experience, there were moments where it was like, okay, they yeah, I can relate to that. You know, I can relate to a lot of what was being, what I was seeing. And that's important to us. You know, it's that idea of seeing yourself and your family represented on TV is huge. So I really appreciated that.
There were some things that they also were able to give us. Some of the adoption specialists and people like that were able to say, here's a trope we always see on TV about adoption, and it's not true. So like, if you take nothing else from this meeting, just please don't do that one thing. Right. And so even stuff like that was helpful in being like, oh, I have seen that in other shows, and I guess I thought that was the way this specific thing goes, but the specialists are telling us that's basically not good, and it's sort of detrimental to the concept of adoption or whatever. You know, like I think they told us that the sort of trope of the adoption falling through at the last second because the birth mother changes her mind and this and that, they were like, it does happen, but it's represented so much on TV that it is making the general population scared to adopt because they think that's going to happen to them. And it is more detrimental than it is helpful. So like, please try to avoid stories, you know, stuff like that, where again, it wouldn't have even been in our mind that, because that's good drama, obviously, a birth mother.
Well, I was going to say.
Great for television, but if they're saying, like, this is actually detrimental to the community at large, then, like, of course we're not going to want to pursue that.
Right, right. I know you've, for now, most of your career has been in that writer's room, but is that typically the case that you know of? That they will bring in, you know, experts and...
Yeah, I think to the degree that if you're on a show that is dealing with anything based that much in real life, I think a lot of shows do that. The Writers Guild actually has the Writers Guild helped us set up a lot of those meetings because they basically have a database of like experts. And so especially for medical stuff, because also anytime we did medical things, we'd have doctors weighing in. So I wrote an episode, I think in season 2, where Kevin started taking pills because he had blown out his knee doing a stunt on set and he was going to have surgery. And so literally that, I was like, treating emails with a doctor being like, what is the meniscus? What happens when he tears it? Yeah. What, tell me what to do. Yeah. And so the guild has that specifically as a service to help. I think even if you're an individual writer, if I right now was like, I'm working on a screenplay and I need a doctor, can you recommend someone? Or if you're a big show, they'll sort of help connect you with researchers or with experts in the field so that, you know, you can portray things accurately.
And is that, so the Writers Guild, is that something that you have to be a member of to be able to access resources? Or is this something that's open to, like, could I, if I wanted to, just access
those resources? I actually do not know the answer to that. But I don't know. Yeah, the Writers Guild Library, which is a different, that is open to the public. But I don't know if their sort of, research resources are open to everyone or not.
Okay. So that would be up to individuals to figure that out.
Yeah.
So as a writer, when you have these actors coming in and phenomenal actors like the ones on This Is Us, how tied are you to the words that you have written? In other words, because, you know, in acting class, a lot when we're doing a scene, one of the things that happens sometimes is that we want to get the words right. And so we're so focused on that we'll hear, you know, make them your own. And then it becomes this fine line of you can make them your own, but, you know, not too much. So, and I know Aaron Sorkin
is famously that right? Stick to the script. Yeah.
Right. Whatever is what you say.
We are, or This Is Us, I will say, is not as strict as Aaron Sorkin. I think, you know, if I was on set for my episode, if an actor was getting a line very incorrect, like changing the meaning of it or something in a way that maybe they weren't realizing, then I would have the script supervisor go and say, this is the line. If it was something that's, you're just changing a babe for a hun or something, Jack talking to Rebecca, I couldn't care less. You know, like that's, if that's what you want the character to say, great. So it sort of would depend. Sometimes we would be on set and realize this very long monologue is a little too long and part of it's not working. So like, if the actor's going to like skip over that part, that's honestly fine. Like that. But I would say mainly our actors on This Is Us are very respectful of the script and are by and large sticking to it. Sometimes they would come and say like, this part, I like think I wouldn't say this. I think I would say it like this. And it would be like, okay, great. Go do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in scenes, there's a couple actors who are like a little looser and will improv more a little bit, like sort of just add within a scene, add some quips or add some kind of stuff like that. And usually if it's not distracting, it's fine. But sometimes we'll be like, we need to get one take where you do the line is scripted just to make sure that we have it.
Rein it in.
So it's kind of, we're never like, I think some big comedy movies and stuff, you know, like Judd Apatow, I think they do a lot of like improv on set and that's part of how they find what it is. We're certainly not that show, but we're also not, you know, if you change a line, we have to keep going back over and over and over again until you get it. Unless it's like the line, you know, unless it's like a huge important, going to be like the last line of the episode. Like you got to get that right, you know, but.
Right. Or if it's a lead in to something else, like you were saying before, to something that's coming in.
Totally.
In future episodes.
Yeah. Okay. But by and large, if it was like you changed a couple words in a speech or something, no one's going to, you know, as long as you've got the gist of it and it still sounds real coming out of your mouth, there's no issue there.
Now, would you prefer that an actor just goes ahead and does it? Or do you think actors should approach and ask, hey, this might not, you know?
I think it was always, it feels nice when an actor comes and says, hey, I want to change this because I think I would say this. But also that was normally for a scene that was maybe they knew was very important, or a line or speech they knew was very important. If they're just changing something small in a line as they're speaking and it comes out that way, it's never, you know, great. Yeah. Go with God.
Go for it. So what would be some of the things that you as a writer, as a producer, because now I know that they're completely intertwined. What would be some things that you would want to see from actors? What are some, you know,
on set or in
anything
general,
really?
Anything? Yeah.
Just in general, really. I mean, if, you know.
I think for actors to, in the same way that writers develop their voice, for actors to develop their voice and kind of know what their strengths are and what they're good at, but also be able to, in the same way that writers need to, pivot and do unexpected things. I think, you know, if I'm watching something just as a fan, when I see a comedy actor suddenly doing a drama, I'm in. I'm like, this is so cool. I didn't know they could do this. Like, I've only thought of them as the funny side character in something, and now they're in a movie being super serious and like crushing it. That's so cool. So I think it's, and it's the same, you know, on This Is Us, when Kevin, played by Justin Hartley, who a lot of the time early on was sort of the like LA actor, airhead, fun guy. But then when he did his turn with like his drug problem and alcoholism and sort of really deep emotional stuff, it was like, oh, this is gutting, because we're used to him being funny guy and seeing under the surface of what's going on there. And he's able to pull it off so amazingly. Like, this is really fascinating to watch. And so I think to sort of have a tone or a zone that you're really comfortable in, but then be able to subvert it when possible, is really interesting.
Huh, that's, yeah, that is. And I think that's takes practice.
Yeah.
And takes training. So what would be your advice to anybody, actor or, you know, writers, what would be your advice to anybody who wants to get into the film TV business as a writer, as a producer?
From, like starting from scratch?
Yeah. Or even if, you know, if like somebody who, even if it's somebody who's maybe an established writer, but who's typically not written anything for film, TV, and then thinks, oh, hey, I could do this. I mean, any advice really that you have?
it's obviously so hard to break into any of those disciplines, acting, writing, producing, whatever. But I think becoming a master of whatever your craft is before you even really dive into the waters is sort of what's essential. Like, whether it's writing a ton of scripts on your own to like learn your voice and figure out what you're good at, whether it's doing, you know, acting workshops and stuff, which a lot of actors here in LA do. A friend of mine, my workout coach from pre-pandemic, was an actor, and he ended up getting a role on This Is Us that I had nothing to do with. He was a bartender in an episode, and it was because he took acting workshop classes and met a casting director who then remembered him and brought him in for audition, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think people who are constantly working on their craft have a better chance at A, learning it, obviously, and mastering it, but also meeting people, even if they're not necessarily doing it with the goal of networking. But if you're constantly surrounding yourself by people who sort of have the same goals and are in the circles that you want to be in, it's sort of natural that doors are going to start to open, especially if people see how dedicated you are and how hard you work.
Right. So do all producers have to be writers? Because I know at the school of, you know, at the school here at the School of the Arts, they have just a specifically a producing program.
Right. It's even on This Is Us or on the TV side of things, there are non-writing producers who are either covering kind of more of what you think of more as producer roles, like handling budgets and scheduling and actors' contracts and like all that kind of stuff. But we also have, you know, the producing director on This Is Us, Ken Olin, who directs a lot of the episodes. He's also an executive producer because he's also someone who's like helping oversee sort of the grand scheme of the show. So producer is such a sort of catch-all term in TV.
Right.
But yes, there are the sort of more traditional, the people who are literally making the wheels on the show run by hiring people and doing contracts and doing budgets and doing all that, who don't write at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And so would you say that, I mean, is that a large portion or is it mostly that the producers are also writers?
Mostly it's the writers. Probably if you look in the opening credits of the show, there's a few that are non-writing producers, including Dan Fogelman's producing partner, who the two of them sort of run their production company that This Is Us came out of. And his producing partner, Jess, is doing a lot of behind the scenes work, but is not in the writer's room writing. And then, yeah, there'll be some other credits that are that, but a lot of the names you're going to see are writer producers.
So, and this might be one of my last questions, because I've been jumping all over the place, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. But do you think that writers, especially, and for the TV episodic writers, do you think that those writers should at some point try their hand at acting so that they know what it is that they're asking the actors to do? There are some writers that might benefit from doing some acting. And I know you did a cameo for the show Awkward.
Yes. So that's what I was just going to say. I sort of lucked into getting that experience when I was an assistant on that show. And so I was, the funny thing about that show, I was 21 when I started working on it, maybe. It was an MTV show with a low budget. They never had enough extras. So I started getting thrown in the background sometimes as a like,
hey,
we just need
21.
An extra body. Yeah. You can play 16. It's fine. And so I was able to do that. And then at some point my boss, Lauren Unerick, who created the show, she was like, I think it'd be funny to give you a line. And so then I got written into an episode. And so that for me was a great experience because of how stressful it was. And It was like, oh, this is what the actors do. And now I understand what their life is. And getting there for an early call time, going to your trailer to get hair and makeup, but then being told, okay, but your scene's not actually for 6 hours, so just wait in the trailer. And being like, what? I just have to sit here for 6 hours in this makeup and hair? And then being on set and being like, I have one line. Do not screw it up. Do not screw it up. The stress of that, but also being like having to hit your mark, not look at the camera and say the line. Like, it was stressful. And I was obviously not a trained actor, but it does make you realize how many things an actor is juggling in their head at all times. And to make a performance look seamless, they're hitting their mark. They're remembering to pick up the coffee cup at the right time. They're doing the thing while also saying the lines and being emotionally engaging. It's a lot. And so I think certainly not every writer out there is going to get that experience that I got of being able to guest star with one line in a show. But whether or not they ever act themselves, I think it's at least helpful to consider things from the actor's point of view and be like, when you're, you know, if Mandy Moore is coming to This Is Us in a day when she's in age makeup, she's been sitting in the makeup chair for 3 hours to get that prosthetic stuff on and her hair and everything. And she's maybe then been sitting in the trailer waiting because our last scene was delayed. So she thought she was going to start at 9, but now it's 11:30 and whatever. So I think being aware of the amount that they are juggling while also trying to perform is helpful just in terms of, you know, not being a jerk on set, being like, why is this person like not hitting their mark? Or why is this person not doing whatever? Like, there is so much that they're dealing with. And I, you know, we notice it a lot with guest stars who obviously, if they do come in and they do one line or they have one scene, they are super nervous and they are just like, this is a big opportunity. I don't want to blow it. And then they come in and every take get the line wrong. And it's like, it is, you know, that it's just a stress thing. It's that they've like worked up so much to this that each time walking down the hall trying to get to that door and open that thing, they're gonna get the line wrong because they've been overthinking it. And so it's I think as a writer on set for those moments, sometimes you're like, all right, we just got to adjust, like this actor's not getting this, but I get it, there's six other things happening in the scene, so all right, let's just let him open the door and say the line he's saying, because I guess it's fine either way. Or just being like, all right, this is unfortunate, but we're just gonna keep the camera on him for 10 straight minutes until he does it right. Like, this is not pleasant for anybody. Like, he's embarrassed. We're not thrilled about this, but we have to get this. But I think that it is, I think for writers to at least be aware of what an actor is going through and that their day when they show up on your set might have started many hours earlier in the trailers and in the makeup chair and all that kind of stuff helps you at least empathize with everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm. As someone who clearly has been on set, who's been very involved in that episodic world, what do you love seeing in actors? What is it that what advice would you give to actors, especially those of us who are at the co-star guest star stage? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but what is it that you
I think when you they see? When they are able to be in the scene with if it's a co-star who's coming in for one scene or one line, they're able to be in that scene with our regulars and have the confidence and not be nervous. Like, oh, I'm acting with Sterling K. Brown. This is so crazy. But to be able to come in and just be the character and be sort of loose and be fun, you know, you can tell that they feel like a pro and that they're there to do the work and they're not. We all get starstruck by stuff, but you know, to be able to present as if you're not starstruck and you're just here to do your job and you're a janitor who's saying two lines, but you're going to rock it as that janitor is great. And I think the other thing that's so important for actors is to be able to adjust, especially, you know, if you're an actor who's been sent sides, you auditioned, you had one scene that's a page long, you probably auditioned, like memorized for the audition, did it a certain way for your tape that you sent in or whatever, to be on set and be able to completely adjust based on what the other actor is giving you or what the director is giving you is so important, which is, you know, for all actors, not just guest stars or co-stars, but to be able to be like, I had this one way in my head and that is not what the director wants. So I thought this line was very serious, but he's telling me to throw it away as a joke. To just be able to go with that, you know, makes such a huge difference.
Right. So I think that does covers most of the questions that I had. Is there anything else that you, any wisdom that you would like to impart?
No, you know, anybody? I think as much as it's helpful for writers to, if they can, try their hand at acting in even a small way, or at least consider what an actor is going through, I also think it's helpful for actors to learn a little bit about writing and understanding that process. I think it helps on set when they, you know, when a storyline is happening, or if you get cast in something and you're not, don't like that your character does XYZ, like to be able to consider the whole of the script or the whole of the story and like this scene, I don't like what my character is doing, but I understand how, in the context of the whole story, it's important that I do this. Mm-hmm. Which is often, you know, the case for actors when their character takes a dark turn in a movie or whatever, or a show, and you're like, I don't want to be unlikable, but like, maybe you need to be unlikable for a few episodes so that you can have a great redemption arc. And I think, you know, to the degree that you can, trusting that the writers often know what they're doing or have a grand plan, and being able to be open to those kinds of things. You know, like I said, that's maybe more helpful if you're already a regular on a show or on a movie with, you know, a lot going on and like a lot of big scenes. But I think for actors to understand a little bit about writing and what goes into it, I think in general, everyone to know everyone else's jobs is always going to be more helpful, because you're going to be more empathetic and also able to be more collaborative the more you understand. And that goes, you know, if I understand a little bit more of what the prop guys are doing, then I'll be like, oh, well, I won't write in that crazy, insane prop if I know you have to build it from scratch. Like, I'll just write in something simple you can buy. Or the same for production designer locations. Like, sometimes us understanding, like, oh, if I write this scene as exterior night, frat party, blah, 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 we're going to have to find a crappy house in a crappy location that we can pretend is a frat house. We're going to not start shooting until 10 p.m. We're going to be there until 4 a.m. Nobody wants that. This is an easy adjustment. Interior frat house. We can build it on stage and just black out the windows and no one will know the difference. So I think to always try to understand more of the project than just your zone will help you overall, like, collaborate and make a better project.
Right. And so to me, it sounds, I mean, a lot of, you know, what's come up during our conversation has been collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So last question. your next project, so the one that Don't Make Me Go,
yes,
which is in post-production, when is that going to come out, just so that anybody listening
I don't think we have a release date yet, but I assume it will be sometime first half of next year or second half of next year, sometime in 2022. I think it will be on Amazon.
Okay.
And I just finished a rewrite on another project, again, a feature that I was brought on just to sort of help tweak some stuff at the end. So I just finished that. So I'm sort of turning in this feature draft soon, and then I'll be doing some pitches, trying to get my next job.
Well, that sounds exciting. Of course, you know, I had more, I suddenly thought, wait, pitches, we didn't talk about that. But that will have to be for another time.
Yeah, we can do a second follow-up session sometime.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Vera, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was fun.
It was fun. And good luck with all of your projects.
Thank you.
So
that's it for today's episode of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Taume, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, or if you enjoy the podcast in general, please feel free to rate and review it on iTunes. You can also ask me a question or leave me a comment on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook group page. Until next time.